Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. In October, in the year 539 BC, Belshazzar was partying with his fellow despots in Babylon. To show off, he called for the Jewish temple vessels taken by his grandfather from Jerusalem to be brought in to the banquet hall, and he and his servants and his concubines used them to blaspheme God, to toast the gods of gold, silver, brass, and iron, wood, and stone. And on the night of October 12, 539 BC, Belshazzar saw a hand appear, writing something on the wall that he could not understand. Daniel was called in to interpret the writing, and it was a message to the wicked king. The kingdom over which Belshazzar presided had been numbered and had come to its end. That was the meaning of the first two words, mene, mene. The third word was tekel, and that meant Belshazzar had been weighed in the balances and was found wanting or lacking. You know, he didn't measure up. The last word in the sentence was eupharsin, which meant divided. And the message was Belshazzar's kingdom was divided between the Medes and the Persians. Belshazzar was slain a few hours later, and Darius, the Mede, took Babylon, while Cyrus, the Persian, defeated Belshazzar's father, Nabonidus, up in the north. I think Biden kept checking his watch because he couldn't make out the odd Apple Watch message he saw there. As he watched the 13 coffins carrying the bodies of soldiers murdered by terrorists that he aided and abetted by his botched withdrawal from Kabul, one meme I saw showed a Photoshop picture of the watch screen Biden was looking at with a message from his son, Hunter, informing the big guy that money from that the family had gotten from CCP, Ukraine, and Russia was all being transferred into Jill's personal account, and that it was time for Biden to protect the family wealth, divorce Jill, and make a run for it. Maybe. But maybe it was many, many tekel eupharsin. Coming to the end of another summer, September 22 is the last day of summer. Let's hope we will not cry with Jeremiah. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Jeremiah 8:20. This has got to get done with, you know. Will the political prisoners from January 6th be forgotten? Let's talk about the betrayal of Afghanistan by that traitor in chief. Right now squatting in the White House. So what is going down with the Arizona audit? And parents are rising up to take back their schools in California. The gripe against Gabriel Gipe and that Antifa high school teacher who was outed by a Veritas sting operation. And he's got the parents in that Sacramento school district calling for school board resignations and his firing and the principal of the school to step down. Another California teacher, this one embedded in an Orange County school district, Kristen Pitson, confessed in a TikTok video that she suggested a student pledge allegiance to the LGBTQ flag rather than to the American flag. On the pandemic front, the person at NIH who is leading the testing that the FDA depends on to approve vaccines is none other than phony Fauci's wife. Let's talk about the pandemic and why the mask wars are an important line in that battle. Okay, my friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Will the political prisoners from January 6th be forgotten? You know, like the U.S. friendly Afghanis and the Americans Biden betrayed and left behind. Will we do to our own political prisoners what Biden has done to the Afghan interpreter who saved his life back in 2008 and is now abandoned to the Taliban? Did you hear about that? Biden must be brought to justice for his callous betrayal of America. Look at your watch, you coward. Biden, it tells you that it's time for you to go. Truly, I'm having some trouble shaking the image of the president alleged to checking his watch while 13 U.S. flag-draped coffins filed by him, carrying the bodies of brave soldiers who died by his hands, really. He should have been checking the blood on his hands and not the time on his watch. An award-winning journalist, Lara Logan, who worked with 60 Minutes, is now with Fox. And during an interview with Bongino, she delivered startling revelations about what's really going down in Afghanistan. I just listened to her interview with Bongino and also heard her explain the same thing to Tucker. And that amen you might have heard reverberating across the land was me rejoicing that somebody is saying this that people like Bongino and Tucker are listening to. It's what I have been saying right from the beginning. The outcomes you are seeing play out in Afghanistan were planned. That what we see happening there is what they, quote unquote, wanted. There's no way our NSA were surprised about the Taliban attack to stage such a massive troop, as Laura said. And such a movement of military requires activity that's impossible to hide. You must be kidding me. With the intelligence apparatus we have in place today, there's no way. I mean, just simple common sense tells you that. Your gut tells you that. Anyone willing to see what is obvious knows that to be true. But there are some who desire to believe lies because, well, the truth, frankly, makes them uncomfortable. But now we have the phone call transcript between corrupt Biden and corrupt Afghani President Ghani on July 23rd. Now, let's see. July 23rd to August 15th. That's 24 days at least, something like that, right? More than 3 weeks before the Taliban attacked Kabul. Okay, so in this phone call, Biden says his military advisors are telling him, quote, things aren't going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban, end quote. Well, there it is. Clear proof that Biden and his military advisors knew well in advance that the Taliban were making gains against the Afghan army and it wasn't going well for the Afghan army. So what was Biden's concern? Perceptions. That's right. Biden said, and we're talking 3 weeks now before the shameful betrayal of America and freedom-hopeful Afghanis. By the way, let me speak to that. I understand that many of the Afghanis were not pro-America so much as they were pro-U.S. dollars. But I also know for a fact that, one, many Afghanis were inspired by the prospects of freedom but became jaded when they saw American corruption politics, you know, taking hold in their new Afghani government, and it sickened them, jaded them. And so they joined their cynical compatriots, shifting their expectations and allegiances to the same old, and to the almighty dollar. And then number two, at least a few Afghanis, mostly women and children, continued to hope that genuine freedom would prevail and that America would keep them safe. So anyway, corrupt Biden was concerned about perceptions. He said to the corrupt leader of Afghanistan, quote, I need not tell you the perception around the world and in parts of Afghanistan, I believe, is that things aren't going well in terms of the fight against the Taliban, end quote. And following this, not so sleepy Joe made this politically astute observation, quote, and there's a need, whether it is true or not, there is a need to project a different picture, end quote. Ghani replies to Biden's plea for Ghani to do something that will make the situation look differently by informing the corrupt White House squatter, Mr. President, we are facing a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistan planning and logistical support, and at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists, predominantly Pakistanis, thrown into this, so that dimension needs to be taken account of, end quote. All right, do you understand what's being revealed to you here? Then the Afghan leader asked explicitly for air support, promised to be front-loaded. Do something, give me some air support here. He also complained that military pay had not increased for over a decade, and he was losing moral support of his army. The Afghani president said he needed to make a gesture to his army that they will be paid. And then the corrupt Afghani president revealed that he has intelligence suggesting there were some, listen to this, hidden deals being made between the U.S. and the Taliban. Yeah. and the U.S. Air Force demonstrated restraint in attacking the Taliban. Why? Ghani said U.S. Air Force, quote, was extremely cautious in attacking them, end quote. Clearly, Ghani was suspicious. The United States was playing both sides and making deals with the Taliban behind his back, and further revelations confirmed that. From the excerpts I have, it appears Biden closed the conversation telling Ghani, quote, close air support works only if there is a military strategy on the ground to support, end quote. So, I mean, you got to take the whole thing into context here, but, you know, he just explained what would be needed to field an army. And I don't know any way Ghani, and I'm not supportive of Ghani, I think the guy's corrupt, but there's no way he could have heard what Biden said to him and conclude other than Biden's about to throw us under the bus. We better get out of here. And that's what the guy did. This conversation adds up to Biden telling Ghani it's over. The takeaway here is that Biden knew the Taliban were massing to attack. It is clear he knew this several weeks coming into this phone call where he declares this knowledge to Ghani. For Biden to say the Taliban surprised the U.S. is simply, that's just a lie. And then second, Biden did not take aggressive action to begin evacuation of U.S. civilians from Afghanistan, even though we now know he knew full well the Taliban were massing for a major attack on Kabul. He did not front-load the air support requested, not to help the Afghanis and not even to help the evacuation of our own. The Democrats on the Hill, even right now, are blocking funding that was promised to the Afghan army. You see, this whole thing is set up. You could tell from this conversation that Ghani had intelligence that the U.S. was making deals with the Taliban behind his back. I realize the takeaway most are concerned about is Biden's crass concern about perspective. You know, true or not, do something about how this looks. But a deeper look into this conversation reveals darker things at work. Lara Logan is an expert in the Afghanistan issue. Now listen to what she reveals that none in the Marxist socialist media will tell you. Did you know that we left the weapons and the military materiel for the Taliban? That's right. This was done on purpose to equip the Taliban. But you have to be willing to see what is obvious in order to see it. We did not destroy the weapons and materiel that was left behind in Kabul. We left the Bagram Air Base intact with billions, multiple billions of dollars worth of vehicles, aircraft, rifles, ammo, I mean, night vision gear, all that is now in the possession of the Taliban. We literally gave the Taliban an army, a fully equipped army. Now, did you know that in places where Afghan forces were being left by military, even after they were expressly asked, please don't destroy the weapons, we will need them? Did you know that our military commanders ordered those weapons to be destroyed? Where did they get that policy? You know where it came from. So are you willing to see what is obvious? Biden does not order an evacuation of American civilians first in advance of the withdrawal. He doesn't provide air support to support that evacuation. He knew the Taliban were coming. And there is reason to believe elements of the United States military were actually collaborating with the Taliban as they made their preparations to attack. Biden begins moving military out in the midst of a Taliban attack. Please see what is obvious, and I'm sure that my audience does. According to Logan, the Taliban are one and the same with these terrorists we call ISIS, and now that are being called ISIS-K. She tells us that's a ruse. These are one and the same. Okay, well, how about we take a look at what is obvious and allow ourselves to see the truth of what she's saying. One of the first things the Taliban did when they took Kabul was to release thousands of ISIS fighters, which fighters were then absorbed into their army. They are one and the same, my friends. See what is obvious. You're being lied to. There's no ISIS-K. That's a diversion. There's only Taliban terrorists. Now, the Biden administration is preparing to recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government of Afghanistan. Yeah, there's a nice little 9/11 present for you to enjoy, America. And I hope you enjoy it, all of you who voted for this traitor enjoy your 9/11 celebration. Now, I've gone a little bit long in the first segment. Look, God is putting all of this right in front of our faces. We've got to see what is obvious. We are under attack by the CCP, who, by the way, have already signaled they're going to recognize the Taliban as the legitimate government of Afghanistan and support their takeover. And now Biden's going to follow suit, right? Well, you know who Biden works for. Any hope of freedom and liberty is gone in Afghanistan, so long as Biden stays. And any hope of preserving liberty and justice in America cannot survive the continuation of this unacceptable situation in which we have a CCP, or Chinese Communist Party, placed president. And by the way, so many in Congress right now that are holding their office by a stolen election. The whole thing we're looking at screams true the vote. That is the root of all of our problems. Come on, Arizona. Come on, Pennsylvania, Georgia, the rest of you, Wisconsin. Come on, America. Stop the theft of our right to choose our leaders. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Pastor Scheidbach is on
the air. Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. One thought I did not get to in the first segment: why would an American president want to prop up a terrorist organization? The same reason Obama and Biden did this before. Now, first of all, we should say these are not Americans. These are traitors embedded in our government to subvert our rights and freedoms, to subjugate us to the one world government dictatorship, the Nimrod tower builders that they're trying to construct right now. Like Soros said, America is in their way. Specifically, Christian America is in their way. So they support the radical Islam jihadis because this is the Antichrist army that they want to use to kill Christians. There you go. Rolling your eyes again. Look, I'm not kidding. I'm not wrong about this. Read Psalm 2. Check your Bible. Those who know prophecy know the Antichrist spirit always attempts to purge the world of the saints. The globalists need an army that will not hesitate to kill Christians. Guess what? Sources from within the administration are leaking that Taliban forces, equipped with our military gear, are going house to house, killing, executing any in Kabul known to have fraternized with the United States. So how do they know where these people live? Oh, well, Biden made certain they were given the database identifying all of them. He is a traitor. He needs to be charged with treason, allowed to have the defense afforded by our system of justice, and then, when found guilty, executed in the electric chair. That's what this man deserves. Here is something I picked up in social media that was distributed by a missionary who's in Afghanistan. Quote, "Some of our brothers have made the decision not to run or hide, but to instead use the days they have left to go house to house telling others of Jesus. They are very aware that this will shorten their days, but still they are knocking on doors." We didn't inject that. They didn't put that. Just knocking. "And people are accepting Jesus of Nazareth as their Savior and Lord. This is the reason we are hearing reports that the church there is growing in unprecedented numbers daily. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for a brother. Please pray for our brothers and sisters." Mercy. The Antichrist spirit is strong in the Biden administration. What is going down with the Arizona audit anyway? Because that'll stop all this nonsense. Well, the latest from Senator Kelly Townsend, quote, "Okay, please don't shoot the messenger. The good news is our auditors are successfully recovering from COVID and are back at work preparing the report. As for the report, I'm glad to hear that at least it will be produced within the next week or two. From that point, the Judiciary Committee will meet and will go over everything with a fine-tooth comb. I will keep everyone posted to the extent I am able to disclose information. We are moving forward," end quote. You know, folks, I feel your frustration with this thing getting dragged out. But unfortunately, Americans are still struggling with accepting the discomfort that will be required for us to rise up and correct this mess. So come on, patriots, step up. And happily, we are seeing some of this developing among our parents in public schools. Gabriel Gipe, a public school teacher in Sacramento District, who was caught on video confessing that he recruits students in his classroom to be revolutionaries. Parents are outraged that Gipe has been allowed to do this for years. The principal, all in the administration of that school district, the school board, all of them, they knew about this. They ignored multiple complaints raised against this teacher over the years. This is what I'm hearing. The principal denies it. We'll see. They'll probably try to scrub it. The Antifa flag displayed in his classroom where the American flag was removed. A picture of Mao displayed in his classroom where no picture of George Washington would be welcome. Gipe told the undercover Project Veritas reporter that he had 180 days to turn his students into revolutionaries. He bragged that he displayed his Antifa flag in the classroom, and that when one of his students asked him about it and expressed discomfort, Gipe told the student he displays that flag in order to provoke fascists to be uncomfortable. He said he told the student, "If you feel uncomfortable with that flag, I don't know what to tell you," Gipe said, smirking. He said he told the student, "If he feels uncomfortable with the flag, well, maybe he should consider not aligning himself with values that are antithetical to what the flag represents." Wow. Here's another report, this one from KCRA3 in Sacramento. Inside the Indercom High School teacher's politically charged classroom, this article tells us the guy was stamping students' assignment papers with a stamp that represented the face of Kim Jong-un. And then with that, the word bomb. Excuse me? Students were asked to put their photo on a quad chart to identify themselves with their chosen ideology. The chart has squares all divided up, one for communism, another for anarchy, one for Nazi, one for the Republican Party. Interestingly, the chart is divided by the DNC donkey on one side and the GOP elephant on the other. And on the donkey side, you have the communist and the anarchy symbols, right? And students are encouraged to post their personal photo in the square that identifies their chosen ideology. Really? Another California teacher, Kristen Pitson, confessed in a TikTok video that she took of a selfie that she suggested a student pledge allegiance to the LGBTQ flag rather than to the American flag. Now, this was in Orange County. She totally buries herself in this moment of self-immolation. Yeah, I've got the documentation here. So she, like all coy and giggly and all totally impressed with herself, goes on to tell us all that she took down the American flag during COVID and then whispers, because it made her feel uncomfortable. Well, maybe she should have talked with Gipe about that. And, you know, if the American flag makes her uncomfortable, perhaps she should stop aligning herself with the values that are antithetical to what that flag represents. You know, values that are antithetical to liberty and justice for all. You know, that bit about all men being created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. You know, stuff like innocent until proven guilty. And here's one you should really think about, Pitzer or Pitson, the right not to incriminate yourself by blabbing all over social media. What a moron you are. Yeah, giggling like a schoolgirl, Kristen Pritzen goes on to confess that when a student raised a question about why the class stands at third period to recite the pledge when there's no flag in the room, she demurs, "Oh, well, I misplaced it and I'm looking for it." And then with something like a Greek comedic snide aside to her audience, she waves it off, shaking her head, mouthing, "No, no." And then she said, "In the meantime, I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can," air quotes, "pledge your allegiance to." And he like looks around, she tells us, and goes, "Oh, you mean that one?" And he points to, and then she pans her camera to show us the LGBTQ flag she has displayed on the wall of her classroom. No American flag with that one. This is not something newly developed, although it is newly revealed, at least in national news. I was warning about this stuff back in the early 80s. I warned about the shift that took place in teacher education programs, where they shifted from making teachers persons who train students in academics to change agents. The focus shifted from preparing the students academically, you know, to social engineering, to ideological shaping. The ideology being advanced was anti-American. But here is something every parent should know. There are little-known laws that allow parents to take control of their schools. Let me talk about that for a moment. First, it's good that so many parents are now paying attention to what is being taught in our school, so keep it up. Second, it's good that parents are showing up at these school board meetings and expressing their voice and their concerns, holding these supervisors accountable. Definitely keep it up. I know you want to be nice and not viewed as belligerent, but you know, there comes a time, well, like Bongino said, no more cutesy, right? He says that cutesy time is over. You need to make it clear to these school boards that your children are not theirs, that you are the ultimate authority in their lives, that you will supervise their moral, religious, and ideological development, that they have one job, and that is to prepare your children with the knowledge skills necessary to be productive, you know, get a job, fulfill their potential, that kind of thing. Now, I understand there are some laws in place that allow for parents to organize and literally compel the school board and school officials also to obey the will of the parents regarding curriculum, teaching environment. Yeah, that includes the mask thing, the vaccine thing, all of it. Parents have the legal right to direct the schools in these matters, and it is time we stopped allowing these educators to bully us and intimidate us into believing we have no say in all of this stuff. Now, I've linked the article here that speaks about how parents can organize, get at least 5% of the parents in a given district to sign a petition for, say, you know, this or that teacher, Guype or Pretzen, to be fired, or the Pledge of Allegiance will be recited each morning, and an American flag will be in each classroom, or and this or that or the other will be taught, or, you know, masks and vaccines will be voluntary, and all that. You control all of that. All right, I need to wrap up the show for today. Look, God makes parents ultimately responsible for the instruction of their children. Now, of course, you can employ tutors or teachers, whatever, but ultimately, it is your responsibility to make sure your children are instructed to know understanding. Dad, you better pay attention that your children are not being turned into little Marxists, right? Little Nazis. These Marxist indoctrination agents have turned our schools into indoctrination camps, and it needs to get exploded. It needs to get blown open, and they don't even hide it anymore. Now, they're just putting it out in front of our faces. I'm going to have to discuss the proof of plandemic and why the battle over the masks issue is key. And I'll do that tonight during our visit, Comforting Counsel for the Present Distress. And by the way, that's a live stream each evening except Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday. So go to our Facebook page, find Lighthouse Baptist Church, Santa Maria, California. Like the page, set your notifications to be alerted when I go live. My friend, I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see that they are on. You can leave a message for me on our Lights On hotline, 805-314-2114, or go to brainmassage.net to send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I will see you in church.
The battle for America is on. The spirit of Antichrist has risen in our land against the spirit of Jesus Christ. What side are you on? Go to God's War 2020.com.